Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I'm doing a double take there. I'm talking. Oh, God, I talked twice there. But God bless you guys. I'm here, and this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. We have an awesome topic. I know sometimes, you know, we know all of us go through things in life. And the thing we need to realize is the things you go through in life, you know how people say it's not for you. It's for somebody else. But a lot of it is for you as well, because you're supposed to learn from the situations that you've been through and make better decisions as you go through in life. Now, when you and your purpose and walking in your purpose, okay, that means you're able to help someone else walk into their purpose. We just have to know, walk in your purpose. You have to identify what your passions are, and, you know, we always have things we want to look back on and things that we actually need to get right in ourselves. We know that I always say three things: believe, trust, and walk it out. But that believe part is a process. So don't beat yourself up. Don't be upset. It has to be a process. And a lot of times we have to have help from our family. We have to have help on the medical cert, you know, from psychologists, psychiatrists. And that's okay. Counseling is a wonderful thing. We know that in our book it says we need to seek wise counsel. That's the thing is, that's the key, wise counsel that can actually help you go forward in life. That's the thing we need to realize, wise counsel. And we actually have an awesome young lady here with us today. Dr. Audra Sherman, she's going to tell us some things that's going to make you say, wow. I mean, make sure you have your pen and pencil. I mean, make sure you actually listen back to this again, because she's going to give us some awesome information. You know, the word, the D word, all of us have some kind of dysfunction things that we need to work on. We need to have dysfunction interrupted. And she's going to dive into that concept, and we're going to learn some things from her years of being in the medical field of psychology. She actually does counseling. She does coaching. She does so many wonderful things. But the thing is, as I said earlier, we need to make sure we have wise counsel. We need to be able to listen to other people. I remember my mom always saying, always be a good listener. I mean, you can talk, but always, whenever you meet someone, even in networking, you need to be quiet and listen to what the other person has to offer. I mean, that's the most important thing, is to listen to other people. Seek wise counsel, okay? Now, we're going to dive right into this. We're going to welcome Dr. Sherman to Good Deeds. Are you there, Dr. Sherman?
I am. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Sunday, for inviting me on the show, and I'm looking forward to talking with your listeners here and sharing some information.
Wow, it was just, we talked very briefly in the beginning, and she, I could tell that she's very passionate about what she does. And it's amazing that you could hear that in someone's voice when you meet them, because that actually, another thing that helps when you get wise counsel, you have to have someone that actually you can relate to, even from the way they talk. If someone's talking very abrupt and seems like they don't have time for you, I mean, that's a red flag. You need to kind of watch that in anything we do, in all our relationships. But Dr. Sherman, please just tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about your journey.
Well, thank you. I have been a psychologist for 17 years and working with all sorts of clients with all sorts of difficulties, from depression to anxiety to just family trouble to, oh, you name it, children misbehaving. There's all sorts of stuff, you know, that can go wrong or that happens to us, whatever. And I've been fortunate to have clients, gosh, across the board that have just been delightful to work with. And, you know, I'm very grateful for that experience. And my life changed a little bit. I was remarried, and we started kind of following my husband's job around, and it got hard for me to have the private practice that I had built, just staying right there in town. And so I decided, you know, how can I help more people? I think it's time for me now to go on a little bit different journey of my own with my career, and how can I help more people? Because in private practice or even out in workshops, whatever, you can only talk to a few people at a time or one person at a time or whatever. So it kind of enabled me to say, okay, I need to write this program that I wrote. I need to share it with as many people as I can, because for my 17 years, actually plus 17 years basically with my doctorate, but before that also still did counseling and stuff, that this is what I see to work. You know, we're all human. We all have kind of the same stuff. It can look a whole, you know, 100 different ways, but it's basically all boils down to the same stuff, and there's just certain stuff that fixes it and certain stuff that doesn't. And I saw a lot of people wasting a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of insurance co-pays, not to mention their own precious health and well-being, trying to get well, trying to be happier, trying to find their purpose. I love your work on your purpose and that. And I thought, well, I'm going to put it all down here in this one shebang and hopefully get it out to as many people as I can, because this is what I really truly believe to work. My whole program that I wrote and the things that I'm going to share with you today are part of that program, and I find that they work and they make people feel good. So that's kind of my story. That's how I am where I am now and do the online stuff and the coaching and teaching and workshops. So that's kind of that. And I really liked what you just said. I wanted to comment on that. If anybody doesn't listen to you, if you're a client, if you're a person out there trying to get help, trying to ask questions, and somebody's not listening or they're not making eye contact or they act like they're in a hurry to get out the door, you should get out the door first, because they're not going to be any help to you. If they can't connect with you, if they can't give you the time and attention to truly hear, and that's a huge problem in, you know, emotional dysfunction. Nobody's hearing you. Nobody's helping you. They can't guide you if they're not listening to you. So I love the point that you made, Dr. Say. Somebody's got to be listening.
Right, right. You know, this technology now, technology is wonderful, but we need to realize, even when we go to the fast food place, if they don't have our food ready by the time we get to the other door, I mean, the, you know, drive-thru door, we get impatient, and we cannot be that impatient. You know, you have to be patient in every area of your life. I mean, and people, oh, don't say anything about driving. You know, you have to be patient, and you need to bring that over into everything that we're doing. Be patient, and like you said wonderfully, and listen. But let's dive more into your program, because I have my pencil and paper, and I read. You said we need to put the fun back in dysfunction. You know, four ways we can feel great right now. I mean, how we can actually feel good right now.
Yep. No matter what's going on with you, you know, a lot of times when we have dysfunction going on, again, it can look like anything, depression, anxiety, our families acting up, whatever, doesn't matter, across the board, we feel like, oh, that's our focus. We just got to be all sucked up in that, you know, until it's gone. But that's not true. And actually letting that suck you down the drain of life or whatever, you know, it just keeps you from being able to be happy. So I really find that folks need to understand that no matter what they're going through, no matter what's going on right now, no matter who is giving them a whole bunch of trouble or whatever's going on, that they can be happy right now. So I like that, you know, I've heard it wherever, put the fun back in dysfunction or seen little signs. And I love that, because you can. And it's important that you do, because your health, everything is based in your emotions, and negative emotions can affect your immune system or whatever. So no matter what's going on, you really need to try and feel as good as you can and do all the active things to feel good. So my first thing, one of the first four there, or the four that I was going to share with you, is just what you've brought up, what you talk about is purpose, having a purpose. And it doesn't have to be a huge purpose. You don't have to think you're going to head out there and change the world. You can just have a purpose that's meaningful to you, and it can be if you're real fatigue with depression or whatever, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, I have no, like, I can't even think of a purpose. But you can think, okay, I want a different job, and that would actually give you hope. You know, if you really are in a job that you hate and it's making your life miserable every day, your purpose can just be to have a different job or a different job within your same company. Or it can be, if you don't work, it can be to just raise your children to be the very, very best children, give them the best bringing up that you can, and that's the purpose. It's a very important purpose, actually. Any kind of anything that you can focus on, and again, it doesn't have to be huge. Just find something that gives you some hope, that makes you want to get up in the morning, And then I have all my anxious and depressed clients who will say, oh, what if I get the wrong purpose? What if I choose the wrong thing? And that's okay. You know what? You'll know it. If you choose the wrong purpose and it's making you feel terrible, or you're just, you know, you're not getting better, you're not feeling better, you're not having any fun with it, you know, okay, that purpose isn't right either. I'm going to change. There's no law that says once you pick one, you're stuck with it for life. It's your life. It's your mind. You can pick however many purposes you want. The point of it is to pick one and start on it right away. Start getting excited. It's that excitement. It's that hope. It's all those things that will take you up out of whatever dysfunction it is that you're in the middle of. Because when we don't have something really important to focus on, we just keep focusing on all that stuff that's driving us crazy, and that doesn't feel good. So that's the first thing, is the purpose. Number two thing is finding your signature strength. And this is a topic of positive psychology, which I love. That's the branch that, along with cognitive psychology, that's the kind of the theory that I adhere to. And your signature strengths are simply those characteristics, behaviors, whatever you want to call them, that when you're engaged in them, you lose track of all time. You might feel like, you know, 10 minutes has gone by and it's 2 hours. You're so immersed in them. And what that means is those are natural to you. Those are a flow, if you want to call it that. Those are things that you're so good at that you almost kind of do them on automatic, or that you're so interested in that they consume you. And those are fun. You will find that none of those things, when you do something that's part of your signature strength, it will not be sucking the life out of you. You will be having a good time. You'll be interested and you'll be consumed with it. And how you find those, I find the best resource to find your signature strength is to go to a website called www.authentichappiness.com, and it's Dr. Martin Seligman, the University of Pennsylvania's site. And on there they have all kinds of free stuff you can do, free tests you can take, and all kinds of stuff. But the one to find your signature strengths is called the V, as in Virginia, IA character survey. And you just click on their thing of tests to take, and then you go down until you find that one. Again, it's the VIA character survey of signature strengths. And it gives you a little test and it gives you immediate results. And then you can start to kind of build your activities, find jobs or jobs with tasks that fit into that for you. And your life will change so much just doing those things instead of horrible tasks that are things you don't want to do. And again, it doesn't mean that they're just things that you're good at. You might already be good at something, but it might not have come naturally to you. You may have learned it or taught yourself it, but it might not be that it's really a signature strength. It just means that you're good at it through practice, whatever. So don't get too confused. The signature strength is something that's going to happen when you're having a really good time at whatever it is you're doing. And you know, there's so many to list. It could be anything. So find that. That's your number two. Number three is for you to find some enrichment. And by enrichment, I mean those things that take up our day, making us feel good, but also, again, like with our signature strengths, they're personal to us. It's what we're here to do. It's our interest. Again, we get so caught up sometimes in all the other stuff that we forget to add the things to our life that make us feel like life is worth living. And this isn't a luxury. This is essential. When your brain is kicked in like that, doing something novel, doing something that is fun for you, doing something that teases your brain, all those good chemicals, and you hear all over the place now about brain chemical imbalances. Well, all those chemicals can right themselves, and they do. When you're kicking up the serotonin and the dopamine and all the good chemicals, then your brain is less likely to go into a depression. You're less likely to suffer from anxiety, panic disorders, all that sort of thing. So again, it's not a luxury. It's essential that you do that. And I have one exercise that I love because it's quick and it's easy for people. And again, you don't need to do a whole bunch of stuff for this. It's easy to feel good. Go to a bookstore, go to a library, and look at all the books, look at all the magazines. Just look at them. And I really like the magazine rack because it's all kind of contained there. It's easy. And you look, I mean, there's a magazine for every hobby, every interest, every anything you want to look at. And so you look at them and you just pick up those that interest you, stuff you've never looked at before or even thought you were interested in. You look through them, look at the ads, look at the kind of people that are advertising in it or the kind of people in the stories that are in it and say, hey, that kind of fits me, or no, that doesn't fit me, that's terrible, I never want to look at that again. But there are magazines on religion, there are magazines on hobbies, just everything, traveling, cooking, you name it. So you might come away from the bookstore, you know, thinking to yourself, you go in as one person, you come out, and you've kind of redesigned yourself in magazine world, book world, whatever you want to call it, and you may come out with like, wow, I'm really interested in this different religion or how these people think, and I'm really interested in this, and I want to learn to do that. And you've redefined yourself in a quick trip to the bookstore, or at least you are on your way to doing so, of adding the things that are truly you. The things that are not truly you are not going to appeal to you. When you see a magazine on something that you hate, you're not going to pick that up and say, oh, geez, I should incorporate this into my life. But you are going to be attracted to the other one. But typically we don't do that. Typically we go in, we grab the magazine we want, or we look at the fashion stuff, or you know, whatever we're thinking of just in that moment. But I want you to think really broadly and just look at that whole thing and think, okay, who am I? What am I interested in? And don't worry about like what it costs, whatever. You can figure all that out later, how to incorporate it. And by the same token, don't go grab one and stuff that's really expensive, whatever, go out and buy a whole new bunch of equipment that you, if you can't afford it, then it's going to cause more trouble, you know, financially or something. There's ways to incorporate it. You can go, say you find a new religion you're interested in, or you find a cooking, like you, all of a sudden you want to do French cooking or something like that. You can get on the internet, and there are tons of communities of people that you can interact with, you know, just by the fact that they are also interested in it, you already have something in common. So you go from redefining yourself, finding things you like to do, to finding friends, finding people, associates who are also in that activity. And so that's how it starts to broaden your world. That's how it starts to add excitement and hope, fun. And it's not a luxury. Again, it's not something that you should feel guilty over. A lot of times we feel guilty doing stuff for ourselves. And you shouldn't do that, because this stuff is the stuff that's going to make you the best person you can be. So if you have children, your partner, whoever, they look at you and they think, wow, you know what? She's really got it together. He really knows what he wants in life, and he's getting it, and he has this figured out. So it's very important to do that. And a lot of times if we've come up in dysfunctional families, that kind of stuff's not taught. You're lucky to get out of a dysfunctional family, you know, with your proper schooling education and just being emotionally fit enough to go into the world. A lot of times there's no time for these extras. So that is number three, get your enrichment. And then the very last thing that I share with people, and again, this is a concept from positive psychology, but it's not one that's new, or, you know, I didn't think of it, whatever, but there's tons and tons of research on it. And that is, you have to seek out something that gives you gratification versus pleasure. And a lot of times those terms are used together or synonymously, and they're not. The concept behind pleasure is like, okay, you're sitting there watching TV, or you're eating something fun for a minute, some pizza, whatever, you're, you know, looking out the window, chilling. And that's pleasurable. You know, you need to relax, you need time, but you're not getting anything from it. There's no gratification. The difference in gratification is it gives you a huge sense of well-being, of accomplishment, of confidence, build your self-esteem. And that's when you do something that's kind of challenging, involves doing something for someone else. By challenging, I mean you might plot out a hike you're going to do. If you don't exercise at all, you might plot out that you're going to be, you know, walking 3 miles within 2 months or with a month or something. And those things give you gratification. When you go to, you know, whatever, homeless shelter, if you even do something for your elderly neighbor, it doesn't mean you have to carve out a huge part of your week and go do something you don't have time for. I know people are really busy. But you can go to your neighbors if they're elderly, bring them something, do something. Anything like that, even a small smile to an older person in a grocery store or whatever, that, you know, they may be lonely too, depressed, whatever. When you see them beam back at you, that gives you gratification. And it didn't cost you anything. but it feeds your soul, it feeds your person, it makes you feel good, not only about yourself, but that you have made this person feel good. And that's kind of the whole connection thing that, I think we all have with each other. But the challenges, you know, if you're a big hiker, a challenge for you is going to be, you know, Mount Fuji or whatever, Mount Everest, climbing that. So it just, you have to choose your own gratification, and it's just a matter of knowing the difference between pleasure and gratification. Have a little time for pleasure, have a little time to relax, but make most of your activities or your major activities surrounding gratification. Studies show time, I can't tell you how many studies have been on it, that people who engage in gratification or activities that provide them with gratification live longer, they're happier, they suffer less emotional distress, they attract more healthier friends and people around them. So just that concept. So just a quick review. I know we're short on time probably here. The first thing is to have your purpose, to find your signature strengths, to add your enrichment, find out who you are as an interesting person. We're all interesting. We're all characters. That's why the dysfunction continues to go from generation to generation. So it's just finding out who is your, what is your character? Who is your person? What are your interests? And then finding what can we do into our lives to add gratification. And for our kids, if we're raising children, that concept needs to be taught to them too, because they will be happier, more productive children and grow into more to happier, more productive adults, and they won't suffer all the emotional ills. So that's kind of my spiel in a nutshell there of the four things that you can do to feel good right away, and they really do work. And if anybody has any questions, I've talked too fast. I'm from the Northeast, so I know a lot of times I do. anyway, anything, please call me. My the number there on the site is 239-292-2451. Or go to www.psychskills, and you can submit questions or you can email me, whatever, and I'll be glad to go into it further with you.
Wow, that was powerful. I was taking notes of the websites and all that. And
I'm talking a mile a minute.
You said something that was so powerful that people really need to grasp, because I've met so many people, and I was there myself because, you know, like I said, I practiced anesthesia for 14 years, so I thought I was in my purpose. But like you said so eloquently, that if you chose something, and you're not getting the satisfaction. I mean, I thought I was getting the satisfaction. Sometimes you have to have people outside again to tell you, hey, look what's going on. You're tired every day. You're this. And then, like you said so wonderfully, you can be taught something, and that you may think that's your purpose because you do it very well, because you've done it over and over. So you have to have someone that can speak into your life, someone that can say, and then when you end up saying, like I did, I didn't have, you know, the way God had to do for me, I lost my job twice. I went from six figures to zero in one day. And then how now I'm in media, passion and purpose, et cetera. But the thing is, you need to be able to listen to your heart, listen to the people around you, and, of course, get coaching, get a wonderful Dr. Sherman. Oh, wow. You know, the coaching, and listen to people, because a lot of times you may need that push. You may need that extra person to say, hey, this was, you did that so effortless. You didn't even have to write your speech. Every time you get up, you talk just like you're the President of the United States. You don't have to practice that. You need to listen to that. And that's, you said that so wonderfully. But I'm still going on the website, though. to actually sign up for her opt-in that she has. You can get emails. That's like, I read them all the time, your emails, and actually, You're a wonderful person inside out. You really care about the people you coach, and that actually can go a long way.
Well, thank you, and you too. The work that you do is getting out there. The word's getting out there. It's important. It's important for people to have professionals, and particularly it's important for women to have other women, other professional women to listen to and mentor. If you come from a dysfunctional family or any of that, you haven't had that. And you really, it's important. I truly believe in all that village stuff. It takes a village to raise somebody, because You know, sometimes your parents, sometimes other people that are close to you just can't do it for whatever reason. Doesn't mean they're bad or anything. They just can't. And so you need that mentoring.
Mm, yeah, that's important. You know, this one thing we want to dive on to this just quickly here. And then, of course, at the end of the question, please give us your contact information again. But if the things that you're saying that, you know, if we in what we thought was our purpose and that's not the right one, just change up. But really, does age matter? I mean, okay, since I'm, you know, I'm 25, I'm 50, I'm 75, or should I just give up on obtaining my purpose?
No, not at all. You can, anybody can do it at any age. You know, it might, our purposes might differ. Like when you're 30, your purpose might be more career or financial related or something like that. And when you retire, your purpose might be to have the most exciting retirement that you can provide for yourself. It might be to then have an entirely different career. A lot of people take on entirely separate careers. Again, you know, just something they want to do versus something they were trained to do or had to do as a younger person. Now maybe some of the financial pressure's off and they have time to do something else. You know, I see a lot of retirees because, you know, I practice there in Florida, and I see a lot of the retirees then want to give back. And so they get the whole gratification thing, or I guess they came about it naturally enough, but then they want to do another whole career for themselves because they're bored. So their purpose becomes, you know, how do I give back? How do I have a different purpose than what I had the last 20 years? Or how do I, you know, keep my family doing good because my kids are busy, my grandkids are in school? You know, any of those things can be a purpose no matter how old you are. You can always have a purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's I like when you said that. See, everybody say always be fussing, but you said it in a nice way, so that's that's good. But you know, the thing is that we're here to help each other. So if you do make a mistake, you know, get right back up on the horse and keep going.
Yeah.
And if someone does say anything, oh, I remember when you. Just you know, like Joe Osteen always say, when stuff comes in your ear, you have a choice to let it stay in your ear and be part of your, you know, your conscience and let it bother you, or you can just let it go literally out the other ear. And we need to do that a lot of times when people say things to us. We need to just say, okay, and then let it go on out the other ear.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff that needs to keep on going, because a lot of people are very negative and they squelch, you know, your enthusiasm. And in life, it should be full of enthusiasm. Your enthusiasm is what keeps you going to find different purposes and to find that enrichment we talked about and to find gratification if you're enthusiastic about it. But when you have somebody in your ear all the time saying, oh, that's stupid, or you can't do that, or you're not cut out to do that, or that would take you forever, when you start to hear those negative messages over and over and over, they wear away at you, and they can affect how and if you even act on what you want. Some people take it in. Some people are very sensitive, and they take that in. They hear it, and they hear it until they just decide, oh, I guess that is stupid. I better not do that. And they waste that time, and that's a shame. So don't
let any life suckers
in your ear. Yeah, think of them as like leeches or something
like
in your ear. Pull them out.
I like that. Well, Dr. Sherman, give us, please, your contact information one more time, please.
Okay. The website is www.psychskills, that's psychskills.com. And the telephone number is 239-292-2451. My email and everything's there on the site, and you can submit the form, you know, if you want to talk or just call or whatever. If I can clarify something that I've said today for someone or help them, whatever, and have a look around our site. There's some free stuff. And and the other site for those tests to take, your character tests, again, was www.authentichappiness.com. And they'll pull up on there, and it was the VIA survey of signature strengths, and that's just so fun to take, and the information you get back from it's good.
Oh, wow.
So
well, thank
that's
you
my
so
contact
much.
Stuff. And
Well, thank you so much for taking time out and being here with us at Good Deeds. Now, if you ever need us for anything, and, of course, we have your information in our database. If anyone wants in the speaking engagement and stuff like that, you know, we'll have your information. But please, 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 you know, if you need anything from us, please contact us.
Well, thank you. And you also, Dr. Cindy, and thank you so much for inviting me. And I've enjoyed the time with you, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Yes, yes. And you guys, you know, this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. You know how to contact us. It's known as www.gooddeedslive.com. And we're on the social media networks as Good Deeds Radio and Television Show. And, of course, I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. Be good now. Bye-bye.